our learning of Gemara Makkah. We're going to do another Amud today. We're on Daf Beis Amud Beis, and we had gotten to the point where we had discussed in last week we discussed the various circumstances where a person is going to get Makos. He's going to get a punishment that he cannot get the actual punishment that he wanted to inflict upon someone else. He is a liar. He is an Eid Zomim. And we said, instead of getting the punishment that he intended, he's instead going to get the lashes. How many lashes is he getting? Who remembers? He's going to get 39. 39, even though it says 40 in the Pasuk, but we said it's only 39. And we said we figured out each person according to their strength. Okay, so now we're three lines into the top of the page, and it says as follows. One of the things we said, a person has chayev to galut. He has, I claimed, yes, Rebzak.
I have a quick question.
With Aiden,
sorry. So you said that someone determines the strength, right?
Right, so doctors.
So what if like the doctor doesn't like the person?
So yeah, that would be very terrible. If we can turn out that the doctor did a false testimony, he would get punished for that. Because he's causing the individual to get afflicted. Like there's a personal little beef between them.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, it's also more likely that the person will say, I don't want to use this doctor because he and I have a long-standing dispute. You don't normally choose, but if I can go to Bezdin and say there's an issue, they will take it into account. So again, the Mishnah said one of the cases with the situation where a person is supposed to go to Galut. Why does a person ever go to Galut? Why would you ever go to Galus? For killing someone? Accidentally, thank you, Bishogik. Unintentionally, we'll call it. Unintentionally, because we're going to determine that later in the Masechet. So, two of us claim that a man was required to go to Golos because he claims he killed someone unintentionally. It was not true. So what happens instead? He gets Mako. So the Gemara says, four lines in, to our Daf. Menahani Mili, how do I know this? How do I know these words to be true? Amrei Shlakish to Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Hu Yanus Elachasa Rim. He has to go to one of those cities. Those cities are known as Arei Miklat. He goes to one of those cities. Who? Velo Zomim. The Torah said he goes to those cities, but not an aid Zomim, not one who has lied. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Kavachom. Rabbi Yochanan said it's going to be a Kavachom. Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish are common disputants. They fight all the time. They have battles, L'shem Shemayim for Torah. They also happen to be brothers-in-law. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Kavachomer, Umahu, if a person kills someone deliberately, what happens to them? They get killed. They do not get galus. These individuals, they didn't do anything deliberately because what are they wanted to do? They tried to get someone killed and nothing happened. They were not successful. Remember, an eid zomim is you didn't carry it out. You got caught. So of course they don't go into galus. So the Gemara says, velo dinu. That doesn't make any sense. He had no senes. That logic, that kavachomer is not going to work. Why does the person who killed deliberately not go to Golas? What does Golas accomplish? So Golas does remove the person from the equation, but it's also a form of kapara. It's a form of atonement. You killed someone unintentionally. That's serious. So we put you into Golas. The person who killed deliberately, he doesn't go to Golut. Why not? Because that's not enough. That's not enough kapara for him. What he did was much worse. That has no bearing in our case. But here, in this circumstances, we want them to go to Galus. That should be their kapara. So that kal v'chomer does not work. It must be Reish Lakish is correct that the reason they go into Galus is because it's a pasuk. The pasuk says only the person who kills accidentally, unintentionally gets the special punishment, not an eid zomim. Now the Gemara says something a little puzzling. Amar Ulam. Remez, what is a remez? You ever heard that word before? A hint, excellent. Remez, le'edim zomim min ha-Torah minayin. What's the hint to edim zomim in the Torah itself? So the Gemara is puzzled by that question. Remez, le'edim zomim v'haksiv. What do you mean a hint? It's an explicit, clear pasuk v'haksiv. V'asisim lo kasher zamam. We do unto him as he wished to do unto his friend. That is the basis for edim zomim. I don't need a hint. It's right there. Clear, black and white. Just open up the Torah. So he says, no. Ela remez le'edim zomim in shalokim in ha-Torah minayin. It's not a question of the idea, concept of edim zomim. That's very clear. But the concept of edim zomim that they get mako, like our case, how do you know they get makos? Where is that based on it? So it's a pasuk that says as follows. Tiksiv v'tziku et tzadik. You make the tzadik righteous. V'shiu es ha-Rasha. You make the Rasha. You determine he is wicked. V'hayu im ben hakot ha-Rasha. And then you hit the Rasha. That's a series of psukim right in proximity one to the other. So the Gemara says, Mishum v'tziku et tzadik v'shiu es ha-Rasha. V'hayu and ben akas to Rasha. How do those psukim fit together? What does that mean at all? How does that fit to our discussion? But rather, says the Gemara, here's what it's referring to. Ela edim. There were witnesses. Sheir shiu at tzaddik. They wanted to blacken the name of a tzaddik. In other words, remember the false testimony. If I say false testimony of Rabbi Morocco, Rabbi Morocco is, of course, a tzaddik. And I'm saying false testimony. I'm trying to make him into a Russia. So if I try to do that, also edim achrinu v'tzdiku at tzaddik miikara. So two other edim come and say, no, Rabbi Blau, you are not telling the truth about Rabbi Morocco. He is indeed a tzaddik. And they make restorm to his status. And they make the pair who wanted to lie about him, v'shevina l'hanei rishayim, then v'hayu and ben hakota rasha, then we hit the rasha, meaning the edim zomim. Again, what's the edim zomim case? Aiden will be my partner in crime today. So Aiden and I decide that we're going to lie about Rav Ari Smith, and we claim that Ari Smith at 9:45 in the morning stole money from a Jacob Israelstein. That's our claim on a Sunday morning. And then when we bring this claim to Beis Din, along come the noble Noam Gorfinkel and his partner Gavri Steiger, and they say, Rabbi Blau and Aiden, you are always so righteous, but you are not telling the truth today because you were learning together at this very shiur on Sunday morning. There was no way that Ari was stealing money from Jacob Israelstein. We were all here learning together. It could not have happened. That could not have been true. Actually, it's a case where we claim it happened somewhere else. So it definitely didn't happen because we know where we were. So in that case, the Pasuk says, V'hayu ben hakosta Rasha, you hit the Rasha. What do you mean to hit your Rasha? Aid and I, we're going to get a little bit of lashes, but we can take it. So we're going to get the lashes for our testimony. So the Gemara asks the question, normally, makos are given for people who violate what's called the lotase, a lav. So the Gemara asks, why do I need this fancy drasha of a tepik lemilotane? You should not have in your midst a false witness. Just the mere fact that I'm a false witness should get me makot. What do I need a special pasuk? It's a straight out lotase. And all lotase is the punishment is makot. That's the normal punishment. So the Gemara says, Mishum dehavi lav she'ein bo masa. The lav kolav she'ein bo masa ain't lokan alav. Because even though it's true, the concept of lying is a pasuk in the Torah, but the Torah only gives you makot when you do something active. If I violate, if I steal, I do an active prohibition, then I can get makot. But this is a lav she'ein bo masa. I didn't do anything. What do you mean? Because what did Aiden and I do in that case? We lied, but what did we do? Just words. Did we do any action? No. Now that's going to be a big discussion. Are words actions or not? But for the moment, we're assuming they are not. All we did was talk. And it turned out to be we talked a little loosely and not too accurately. Okay. So says the Gemara, Lav she'im b'masa ain't lo kana lav. You could not get makot for that. Yes, Rebaden.
In that scenario, what if we paid someone to
When we did more. So excellent. We will get that later in the Masechah. That's a great, great question. If we were really much more actively engaged, it was more than our words, that could be different. Now the Gemara says, two lines into the wide, corpulent, big line. Tana Rabbanan, Dala Dvarim, Nemrub Eidim Zomim. There were four things said regarding Eidim Zomim. Number one, Einasin Ben Grusha Ben Chalut. Number one, they cannot, in the case of the Kohen situation, they cannot render a Kohen. You know, if they wanted to make a Kohen into this dubious lineage, we don't make them the same, we don't give them the same punishment. Ve'ein Galut L'Ari Miklat, they do not get sent to Galut, to the Ir Miklat. Ve'ein Mishalman Asa Kofar, we have to define that in a moment. What is this Kofar? Ve'ein Nimkaren Be'Evet Ivri, they cannot be sold as an Evet Ivri. Again, we'll explain the last two in a minute. Mishum Rebbe Kiva, Amar Rebbe Kiva even says a fifth item. Af'ein Mishalman Api Atzman, they cannot pay on their own. Meaning, if they admit that they lied, let's say Aiden and I had pangs of conscience, and we don't want poor Ari Smith to have to pay money he doesn't owe, and we come to Beis Din to admit it, then we're exempt. We don't get our punishment. Let's go through those 4/+1, 5. Einasin ben Grusha ben Chalut, to the fact that they don't get the punishment that they get turned into these dubious Kohanim, Kida Amran, that's our Mishnah. Ein Golan Lar Miklad, Kida Amran, that's also our Mishnah. So two of those things we already know, they were said in our Mishnah explicitly, which we did last week. Now, what about the other ones? V'ein mishalman asa kofer. Kofer is a circumstance where if a person, God forbid, their animal kills another individual, so they have to pay. They have to have some type of kofer. Kofer is like kapara. It's like a makeup. They have to make up that in that death. The whole discussion, the animal did it deliberately, not deliberately. But the bottom line is, someone has been damaged, and you have to make that up. How do you make up that damage? How do you make up that circumstances when you damage? So the question is going to be, we'll see in a moment, you have to pay some value. So, yes, Rav Menachem.
When a person runs to an Ir Miklat, how do they ensure that whoever's chasing after him doesn't kill him once he...
Ah, so that's a good question. We will get that in great detail in Makos. Because the Goel Adam, the relatives want to kill him, and they actually have a right to kill him. So we have to discuss how we sort of protect him until he gets there. That's an excellent, excellent question she will deal with.
Once he's in there.
Once he's in there, they're heavily guarded. It's a guarded city, so you only protect who goes in and out. So again, back to this case. Ein mishalmanas ha-kofer, sufra kufra kapara bahani lapay kaparanin. What is the concept of kofer? If Reb Gavri, if you have a very wild shore, a wild ox in your backyard, and it goes out and gores someone to death. We won't have any people die here today. So we'll have an unnamed Reuven. Your ox gores Reuven. So you have to have kapara. We have to have some way make up for the fact that Reuven got killed. You got to pay something. But these Adam Zomerman who lied, because the Garvey would never let his ox out. We lied about his ox. We lied about the whole story. So we have to pay. What do we want to make you pay? We want you to make you pay this kofar penalty. But you would pay that why? For redeeming for what really happened to poor Reuven. But Reuven didn't get killed and you didn't do anything. So there's no Adam Zomerman do not have any kapara to pay for it. So the Gemara says, Kasavri kufra kapara, they believe that this idea of paying kofar is a kapara, an atonement. Vahani leif kapara ninu. And we are not individuals who need any atonement because did the false witnesses kill anybody? No, Reuven didn't really die and Gavri really didn't do anything. So the Gemara now digresses for a moment, and the Gemara says, "Ma tana kufra kapara? Who believes that this kofar is a kapara?" Am Rav Chizda, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokehi. Rav Chizda says, "Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan. It is really Rabbi Shmuel. This Tanya, v'nasan pidyanav showed demei nizik. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokehi, Amr demei mazik. In that very circumstance, there is a classic machlok. It's again our scenario. Garvi, in this case, we'll say your animal really did get loose, and your animal killed Reuven." So now Gavri has to have some type, he has to pay something. What is he paying? So we have two options in front of us in Morocco. One possibility is we say, look, the man got killed. What was his value? Let's give him a value. 800 zuz. Going cheap today. 800 zuz. That's his value. So that's what Gavri has to pay. The mei nizik, the value of the person who was injured. Or we can say that Gavri's paying his own value. How much is Gavri worth? Gavri is priceless, but he's got to pay his own value. What's the machlokus there? Let's take a moment before we do the Gemara inside. What's the logic? Why would you have to say I pay Gavri's value or I'd pay the person he damaged value? Rav Moshe?
Why does it pay Gavri's value to redeem himself or the person you're damaging to, you know, make up for the damage?
Excellent. If I'm paying Gavri, if Gavri's paying his own value, what are we really saying? That he really is responsible for this. We're not going to kill Gavri, thank God, but he has to pay his own value. If I'm paying the other person's value, I'm focusing on the damage done. Yes, we've got it. No, Yair Maklet. It's a different case. Yair Maklet is unique to you doing something yourself unintentionally. You didn't do it. Your animal did. So it's different. So that's why you do have to pay something. Exactly, that's why you need kufra kapara.
They can't kill you for killing their animal.
But they can't kill you for killing the animal, and even in Mikla they can't, even though a Goel Adam can't kill you for that. Even the relatives can't kill you for that. So the Gemara says, what is the basis for the machlokus? My law of hakamifki, is this not the point of contention between the two parties? The mar sever kufra mamonu, mar sever kufra kapara. Maybe one person says this punishment of kofir is mamon. It's a monetary punishment. It's the value of the person who got damaged. And the other individual said, no, it's a kapara. I'm redeeming myself. Therefore, I pay the mazik's value. Amar Rav Papa, lo. Dekuli alma kufra kapara. Everyone agrees that this kofir is a kapara. It's a sense of redeeming. Gavri has to redeem himself. Everyone agrees that Gavri has to redeem himself. One second, Gavri. The only question is, does he use his value for the redemption or the other person's value? A little more. The Gemara says, "My time with the Rabbanan." Why would the Rabbanan say that you pay the value of the person who's damaged? It makes more sense to pay my own value from redeeming myself. So, Nemer Hashta Lamata, Nemer Hashta Lamala, Mala Halan Bidanizik, Avkan Bidanizik. We have, says the Gemara, that we have in close proximity. We have another case where a woman who is pregnant, unfortunately, something happens to her and her embryo is killed, something of that circumstance. So then you're paying the value of the child that was lost. So it says the Rabbanan that we have the two psukim in close proximity. And we say the same term is used in both, linking the two terms, and that's what they're about to say. The principles are indeed one in the same. What does Rabbi Shmuel respond to? Rabbi Shmuel, how does he respond? It says, the nothing pidyon nafsho. ksiv. He says that you have to redeem. You have to redeem the value of your soul. Therefore, it is the value of the person who did it. Rabbanan ein pidyan avshav ksiv miyuki shayminan medenizik shayminan. Yes, you do redeem your own soul, but whose soul is it? The soul of the nizik, not the soul of the mazik. Got you a little more? Almost ready? Almost done with the amid, gentlemen. We're doing great. You are stark beyond words. The last one of the four was einim karen le'eved ivri. Why would a person ever be sold for an eved? Rav Lerand, Rav Ezra, why would a person be sold for an eved ivri? So the rule is a person is sold for an eved ivri. Let's say Rav Morty Myers, you'll be our villain for the morning. Is that okay, Rav Morty? So Rav Morty goes on a spree of theft. He's robbing all. He robs a lot of people, right? He gets caught. Morty gets caught, and Morty does not have the funds to pay back. So what happens? So he gets sold as an eved. He gets sold as a slave. Now it's not a bad, it's not a great gig, but it's not so terrible. We actually have to treat the eved better than we treat ourselves. But nonetheless, that's what happens. So says the Gemara, let's say, Reb Javi Gekovich and Reb Moshe Schechter, we will make Morty a tzaddik. He is falsely accused. You two of you falsely accuse him of this theft. And you are actually Adam Zomim. So the lacha is, you do not get sold. Even though what were you trying to do to poor Morty Myers? You're trying to get him sold. You don't get sold instead. Why not? So the Gemara says, Sever Ham Nuna. So the question is, Ha Lameima, Reb Newman wants to say, Hani Mili Hecha the Isle Lidi Day. The migoy, the iolon is davin, inonabalim is davin. So the question is, when we make this lie, one second of Lorraine, when we lie, this story about Morty Myers, does he have money to pay it back? If he has money to pay it back, would he have been sold?
No.
So since he would have been sold anyway, of course they're not sold. Aval heiko the lesluli day. Avag of the isluli tomb is davin. But perhaps if Morty didn't have money, which meant that if Davi and Moshe's nefarious plan would have come to fruition, would have been successful, poor Morty Myers would have been sold as an Eben Ivri for 6 years. Then maybe we'll send them to, we'll make them get sold even if they have money. So he says, that doesn't make any sense. Davi can say, you can't punish me if I would have been the one stealing. If I have the money, I don't get sold. So we cannot be sold. So the Gemara says, Ela Savar Rav Hamnuna, Lameimar, Hanimila Hecho, the Islay, Oladi Day, Oladi Tu. So Rav Nuna says, if either Morty has the money to pay back, or Davi and Moshe have the money, no one gets sold. Ella, aval, heka, the lesle, lowly the day, the lowly the tomb is davni, but in a circumstance where no one has money, we're all really poor. So Morty would have been sold for an eved ivri if he was really the thief, but thank God he's not. And Moshe and Davi don't have the money either, so they would also have been sold, and indeed they are sold as eved ivri. So the Gemara responds, Amalei Rava, no. They never get sold. Adam Zomim never get sold. Why? Amalei Rav Avinim Kar B'Gnevato Amar Rachmana. The Pasuk says, he is sold for his theft. Who is the he? The actual thief. B'Gnevato, below B'Zomimo, it's Exeris HaKasiv, only the one who has stolen, not the Adam Zomim. So we have four instances where people have lied, they're Adam Zomimin, but they cannot get the same punishment. Ben Gusha Ben Chalutza, we have the case of saying someone went to Golos, so it's supposed to go to Yemiklat. We have the case of the Kufra Kapara, the shore that's gotten out the wild animal. And we have the case of the lie about the person being Eved Ivri. All four of them, they do not get that punishment, even though that's what they intended. Instead, what do they get? They get lashes. Rav David Loren has a question. Rav Gavi has a question. We bring it to a close. Rav Loren. Hypothetically, because Morty would never be stealing.
But these two witnesses claim that he stole something at different times, but he didn't steal something that.
Ah, excellent, excellent. So we only deal with their testimony, even if it turns out that he did steal, but they lied about it, it's not going to work. They're going to get in trouble. Because if what they said wasn't true, the fact that he may actually be a master thief for hire doesn't matter. And what all that matters is what they said is true. We're going to get that a lot in the rest of the parak. Rav Garvey, you had a question from before?
Yeah, in the case where you pay someone's value, how is that determined?
Ah, that's an excellent, excellent question. The whole discussion of normally the way it worked in the time of the Gemara, and the time really of the Torah, how much the person would be sold for if he were on the market as an Eved. That would be his value. We'll have to figure that out. What we still have to do is the case would be Akiva, but that, God willing, we will start with in our next Sunday morning learning. Have a wonderful day, all.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi. For what?